to call the Administrative Finance Committee for June 13th to order. And I'd like to recognize members of council who have joined us around the table. First of all, I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. My legislative aide, Brian Holleiter, is taking the notes. I'd like to recognize that Council President Karen Harvey Nagel is with us, Councilmember Janica Patrick, Councilmember Lisa Diller, Councilmember Bob Weiner, Councilman George Smiley, Councilman Penrose Hollins, and Councilman Tim Sheldon is walking into the room. And with that, we're going to go on to...
Motion to approve the minutes of the previous meeting?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes from the 23rd of May committee meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Yes.
A motion to go out of order to hear the presentation from Mr. Turner with the Delaware Board of Trade.
We have a motion to go out of order to hear a presentation on the Delaware Board of Trade.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. We will have that. I know there's someone here.
Dennis is out.
Where'd he go?
He's outside in the lobby.
He's outside.
Chris, I didn't mean you had to leave the whole room. That's usually just reserved for me.
Please have a seat and identify yourself for the record. We'd like to hear your presentation on Delaware Board of Trade.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Again, my name is Dennis Toner. I presently serve as Vice Chair of Delaware Board of Trade. I also serve on our seven-member Board of Directors. So what I'd like to do, if it's Council's permission, is to speak briefly. I prepared some brief remarks for about 5 minutes, and then following, I open it up to questions, any that you may have. I'll be happy to answer as best I can. One change that we had when I had spoken with Councilman Smiley about coming here, I had intended to bring our chair, John Wallace, along with me. We are presently in the midst of another investment firm coming from overseas that came into Philadelphia yesterday. So we're in the midst of a three-day session with this particular firm that has hopefully will intend to invest as well in DBOT going forward. So that is where John is. That's where I will be following this little piece before Newcastle County today. So if I may, if I can just refer to my written remarks, and as I said, they're brief, and I will...
Before you begin, I'd like to recognize Councilman Jay Street has joined us at the table. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Madam President, members of Council, where are we? When we originally presented our business plan to Council, we anticipated that it would likely take 9 to 12 months to secure all the necessary approvals. This process clearly exceeded that target. In fact, we did not receive all final approvals until late last year, even bleeding into early this current year. DBOT is fully approved by FINRA, the regulatory agency for over-the-counter markets, the Security Exchange Commission, and the Attorney General of Delaware. In addition, we were required, which we had not been aware of, to secure similar approvals from other attorney generals before customers could trade with us. Approvals were secured in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, California, Massachusetts, Texas, Illinois, and Florida. We are fully approved, financed, and presently are conducting business. Allow me to first kind of review the bidding, if I can, with a description of DBOT. DBOT is one of three platforms now operating in the over-the-counter space. Our business plan has always been not to compete with New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ, but to enter the OTC market space. And by entering the space and bringing a platform that is fully automated, transparent, and best protects the interest of investors. a platform that can attract startup companies with less than $50 million in revenue, foreign investment companies called ADRs that wish a position in the U.S. marketplace, and to provide a crowdfunding portal to help raise capital for qualified ventures. Our work on this process continues. The next step of this process has been to reach an agreement with what is known as market makers. The OTC market does not allow an individual investor to simply call up a local broker to execute a buy or sell. Trading desks, Fidelity, Bloomberg, UBS, etc., must have contractual agreements with a firm that specifically deals with stocks in the over-the-counter market. These are called market makers.
One moment. I'd like to recognize that Councilman Ken Woods has joined us.
DBAT needed to secure contract agreements with these specialized firms to trade on our platform. While we made presentations to all of these companies before we had final approvals, we could not sign up any of these firms until we were able to trade. The sign-up process with each firm takes approximately 7 to 10 days with each trading desk, depending upon any number of factors to how sophisticated or unsophisticated their trading platform may be, their legal review of the documents, and so forth. To date, we have signed agreements with the major market makers that represent 70 to 80% of the trading volume found on the OTC exchange. For example, Susquehanna, which goes by FIG Partners, represents all local banks in East and the Midwest. We've also signed agreements with Wall Street Access, SpeedRail, Instanet, King, and Ascent. We are also in the process of technical hookups with another 7 firms following these particular market makers. Next, we had to go through an approval process to list the symbols of specific companies on our exchange, simply because a company was already registered and doing business on the OTC did not clear it with the SEC and with FINRA. We needed to do due diligence ourselves. Even if a firm was already trading, we were required to independently confirm that the company had complied with securities exchange requirements. This process includes our personal review of the required SEC filings, audited financial reports, and last annual report. Again, gathering this information requires time, and then we needed to eventually notify Securities Exchange Commission each time we added a company to our listing schedule. To date, we have completed this process on a little over 800 firms. I expect we will eventually climb to about 1,200 firms in within the next 7 to 10 days. And these 800 firms that we have listed, they represent 80% of the firms that are daily traded on the OTC markets, that is with values above $1. As you may recall, we have limited our trading to stocks over $1 and not the so-called penny stocks or risky investments that the OTC market has always been home to. Regarding investment funding to date, in addition to the loan first provided by Newcastle County, we have secured from private investors the funds necessary to finance this approval process, the openings of the exchange, and the operation of DBOT through the startup of trading. We have a closing scheduled today, as a matter of fact, which intends to bring an additional $2 million to DBOT over its one-year investment schedule. These investors include local business people, venture capital types, and an organization called the Lutal Organization, which handles the investments for business persons and the ruling family in Dubai. Lutal, in addition to their investment in DBOT, plans to open a similar trading platform in Dubai. Lutal has located their American operations in conjunction with our facilities at DBOT in the Hercules buildings. They are charged with directing investments in startup companies here in the U.S. Presently, Lutal is working with a company looking to lease space in the experimental station. It's a joint project with the state and the county's economic development plans to attract new tech companies to Delaware. DBOT would like would provide the platform for such companies to seek additional funding through our crowdfunding portal and list on our platform. DBOT is, what my point is this, DBOT is now changing its emphasis from investment to revenue income. We are now active through technology partners to provide a blockchain accounting for our listings. We would be the only ATS exchange to offer that feature, which is quickly becoming a key ingredient in foreign investment in the U.S. The Delaware Bar Association has made the approval of the use of blockchain a part of their annual update bill. This bill is before the General Assembly and should be passed by June 30th. Again, this would place Delaware ahead in providing this instrument for Delaware registered companies, particularly largely established international companies now trading on present OTC markets. This is a major inducement to them to list with DBOT as well, or co-list, I should say. I'll be brief, I'm on my last page, my friends. Regarding employment, at present, between our management, operations, and technology staffs, there are 25 employees. They operate in Delaware and New York. All of the payroll is in Delaware. I must say, this has been a difficult road, cutting staff through layoffs and cutting salaries. First, we cut salaries by 30%, and then we cut salaries a second 30%. Our priority has always been to first protect the interests of our investors. The approval process of getting to the point of trading has taken much longer than we had planned. These delays, while difficult, have not affected our primary goal of becoming the only automated platform in the OTC market, which provides investors with real quotes and transparency. We are now positioned to grow our business, bring listings to market, and jobs, both direct jobs with DBOT hires and ancillary jobs here to Delaware. Lastly, as you know, we made our first interest payment earlier and anticipate doing so again this year. In conclusion, Councilman Smiley and other members, we thank you for your foresight in providing the loan for the start of DBOT. I'll be glad to answer questions at this time, and again, thank you.
I believe Councilman Weiner raised his hand and wanted to ask a question.
Shirley.
Thank you. Thank you for that very encouraging report.
Thank you.
A few brief questions. Could you elaborate on the ATS exchange?
Alternative trading system?
Yes.
It is, it at first, there's, the exchange itself had its origins back in 2008. Our chief information officer's name's Sean Sloes, who is the chief officer in a company out of New York called Fundamental Interactions. It's his creation. He has done work with Bitcoin Exchange. He has done work with the Canadian exchanges. He has done personal background is in the trading business as well. He started 20-some years ago in that, quickly realized that where the market was headed was away from individual dealers and into technology. The ATS exchange, which he built or has built and will continues to improve upon and so forth. In fact, one of the larger problems we had in delays is that some of the trading platforms that come to the platform, they're using software that's 8 or 10 years old. They needed to make improvements to their platforms in order for the platforms to talk. But basically, you get a trade. A gentleman wants to trade 500 shares of FINRA. The money market money maker takes the trade, submits it to DBOT. Okay, DBOT will, depending upon the particular market, if they want to trade it at cost, they'll do it at cost. If they want to split the difference, that is between the high of the day, the low of the day, the exchange will do it. The exchange also figures out who is bringing that market to DBOT, they may be operating on a system where as they receive, say, 20 mils per stock, it may be 10 mils per stock. The system figures all of that out, comes back to them with the closed trade and with whatever pieces of business from being either the buyer or the seller of the exchange, the settlements for that. Our system, the ATS platform that we have, Councilman, it's our break-even point will be if we, once we begin sharing, excuse me, trading in the neighborhood of 8 million shares a day, that will be a break-even point for us. That will allow us to turn our attention to bringing actual companies to list on Delaware, to begin to deal with the ATRs where there is more interest in foreign investments that wish to list in the U.S. Than anything else, frankly. But the exchange, the OTC exchange itself, it trades probably, it's not unusual for the exchange to trade a billion shares a day. But most of that.
Does that include penny stocks?
Yeah, exactly. That was my point. Good point. It's it, most of that is in there with the 20 cents, 30 cents, or even 3 cents. Not to say that there's not worthwhile companies that do, in fact, trade, say, 30 cents, 40 cents, but there's a lot more that are just not credible companies. They don't file regulatory reports with any agency. And it's the type of businesses that we just intend to stay away from. Again, one of the requirements with listing on DBOT is that you must file public statements. You must report annually, and you must have income each year if you wish to be considered for DBOT.
So what you've described is the antithesis of market makers like the infamous First Jersey Securities, which doesn't necessarily operate according to standards of ethics.
Yes.
How does government ensure that we don't get market makers like that anymore? Are they still permissible within the fine lines?
Frankly, there's always bad apples in the business. We have turned away some market makers that wanted to set up a process with DBOT. First and foremost, and why I think we've been a little bit more deliberate than others would have liked, certainly that includes all the council in terms of how we finally reached this stage anyway. But we just feel that Delaware has such the reputation that we are trying to do our best to protect Delaware's reputation as we're going forward. And as a startup, there's some situations we find ourselves that we've come across for the first time. So if they have a history or it happens more so, I think, with foreign companies that wish to come. If they do not, one, if a foreign ADR wishes to be considered for DBOT, one, they would have to be listed on an exchange in their home country. Secondly, they would have to file an annual report in English, and there are two other requirements that they need to meet. So even that is just to be considered for listing. So we take those and need to review each of them individually. We have a person on staff. He's our highest paid person on staff. And he while he is paid by DBOT, in reality, he works for FINRA and the SEC. He needs to review each application that we receive for listing and report his findings, approve his findings, and he is the one that issues that information to the SEC.
One final question. Would you still characterize today, as you did initially, as having a unique patented process which gives you an edge in terms of years, in terms of being in the
Absolutely.
Market?
Absolutely. What is, again, we are one of the three platforms on that operate on the OTC market. The other two, one is ARCA, the other one is a wholly owned subsidiary of the New York Stock Exchange, and they are, and to the extent, they're dying models, but it's where their income is, it's whatever comes in the door, they're willing to trade, and not to say that's just not us, and that's not what we intend to do. But our exchange is the only one that promotes transparency, promotes individual investors for coming to DIVA, looking at the companies that we listed, be able to go to their reports to see who their board of directors is, what the revenues were for last year, what's their story is, to better enhance the decision-making process for someone that wishes to invest their personal money in buying a stock on the OTC market. Much as close as we can get in that respect to two larger exchanges, that is NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange, is what we intend to do. It's just an opportunity that the people smarter than I thought would be welcome. FINRA still welcomes our participation on the OTC market, and you know that's what we're trying to do. Again, the next thing in our process is we need to, their next group of hires we'll probably have to do is on to bring more business to better present our case to the money the market makers in New York, why they should be listing with us and what the advantages are. That is, if you're getting 20 mils a share, we can match that, or if we can't, we can't. That's all. But the idea that we offer transparency, the idea that you can tell us how you want that the shares to proceed, that is, do you want the top price, you want the middle price, or just how you want it done, is something that is brand new to this market.
For Newcastle County's sake and for yours, look forward to that next group of hires. Thank you very much.
I had a question. So you've accomplished all the regulatory approvals from all the agencies that regulate that activity, financial activity.
Absolutely.
And you're trading, you're up and trading now?
Yeah.
And what's the dollar volume on the exchange?
Dollar volume, it's it varies day to day. We may have, some days we may have 10 trades, some days we may have 30 trades. Here's the way this unfolds as well. They want to do business with, okay? As I said, it takes 2 weeks to begin this process or finish the process to get that piece of it settled. Then you begin the trial period. You do it for 4 or 5 days. They submit trades to us, make sure all the trades clear properly in order that the systems speak to one another, okay? Then after that, then you're finally at the point where if they choose to, they are encouraged to use the exchange. It is not from lack of trying that I like to think that the people in New York, they are aware of DIVA and will come to DIVA, and they are coming to DIVA, but it is a little bit like, you know, that's one of the other big guys come go first. I'm not coming first. So we'll build a steady volume. We'll build the steady volume. It also will come about as a result of partners that we have with Lutal, hopefully if we get this overseas outfit that we're dealing with now. They are the ones that have real incentives to bring companies from and have them listed in the United States. So
when did you commence trading?
We commenced trading probably. It's been fits and starts. I would say we commenced trading sometime in April.
Okay.
But it's like today when I went up to look at the website. They pulled the day. Our website is down because they are uploading another 400 symbols, another 400 companies onto the website. You can only do it after business trading hours. So that's why when it's down during the day, it's because you can't You cannot do both at the same time. You either have to be open from start to finish, or if you miss the starting bell, you're down.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Yes, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Mine are more on the county side, since we have some investment in this. If you were up and running only in 2017, I'm presuming that there is not an audit or anything from 2016 that would be available. Am I correct, or?
I don't know. Our financials are certainly reviewed by an outside company.
Are the audits then public, or do we get a copy of them, or how does that work?
Let me look into that. I am not.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know the answer to it, but all I know is we do have an outside audit performed.
And my other question, because this was a News Journal story that talked about $13 million, if I'm remembering correctly, with the agreement that the county had with DBOT, I thought it said like at 15, the gross aggregate, if it's at 15, that we then get our $3 million back. Am I correct in that?
I'm not.
You don't?
No.
Okay, and I don't have...
So where would that be?
I thought that I had read that within the contract, the agreement that you had with Newcastle County.
Then you should read
the contract.
You have the contract.
I don't have it with me, no.
Okay.
But electronically...
You have access to it.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
Would you like to throw out another opening day?
No. Okay. Councilman Member Diller.
Yes. Mr. Toner, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the sort of timeline, and but I do have to say I'm really concerned about the county's money and getting it back. And I think there were a number of us who were very concerned when this was initiated. So I don't think I could be any clearer than this. You need to make good, because this is the taxpayers' money.
Thank you.
And I will leave it at that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, comments on the BBOT with Mr. Toner here today? Any from the public? All right, thank you very much
thank
for that
much.
Comprehensive report, and we look forward to more
forward
in the future.
Motion to return to regular order of business.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're returning to normal order of business. Under resolution 17-144, 114, excuse me, authorizing execution of one purchase order contract for Newcastle Conservation District for stream bank stabilization required behind the property at 129 Talbot Drive in Chelsea Estates for the Office of Special Services in the amount of $6,000. I understand this is going back into Councilman Smiley's district. Is there anybody from Special Services like to explain this? Thank you. Oh, Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, if you don't mind. Stream bank is actually a courtesy, I guess, term for stormwater ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, council approved, we moved money from one project in the 7th District where we could not get the property access waiver signed to this project. The ditch was caving in, stormwater was not moving properly, so the stormwater ditch behind these homes was completely, well not completely, but most of it was rehab where it was caving in. This is a portion of that where apparently there were some things buried and the rehab didn't reach to it, and it has started caving in, and this is to fix that problem before it gets any worse.
Okay. Very good explanation, and I recall that Grand Canyon of the ditch, and
one of the few times I brought photos.
Okay. Is council satisfied with Councilman Smiley's explanation? All right. Thank you. We're going to move along. Yes, Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, at the last community services meeting, The essence of this application was discussed by Ms. Casey, so if you remember her presentation.
I need to read the title, sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
Resolution 17-115, authorizing the filing of an application for federal assistance with the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development under the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974, as amended, and the Cranston-Gonzalez National Affordable Housing Act, as amended. Councilmember Diller.
All that to say, this is the HUD application discussed by Ms. Casey at the last Community Services meeting.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from members of council?
I'm just hoping.
On Resolution 17-115. All right, moving along. Under ordinances, Ordinance 17-047, amending FY17 approved sewer fund operating budget, revised Department of Special Services and debt service transfer budgetary funding of $25,000 for the debt service payment associated with Delaware Water Pollution Control Revolving Fund Loan Number 12000065. All right. Do we have somebody from finance?
Ed Nowicki, finance office. This is a state revolving loan we entered into with the county entered with the state, and it was not included in the original debt service budget. When the fiscal year 2017 budget was approved, this is the money we're moving within the county budget to pay for that payment to the state.
Okay, I was always under the impression that the revolving loan fund by the state didn't offer us advantageous terms compared to our regular bonding. So I don't know.
Brian Maxwell, Chief Financial Officer. I believe the interest rate on that is 2%.
Oh, that's
I believe that. So it is favorable, but sometimes the hoops that we have to go through as far as documentation and it being on a reimbursement basis is sometimes what makes it unattractive. We are going to continue conversations with the state because they do have a pretty large authorization to grow this program, but they haven't had many people taking advantage of it. So I believe we could possibly get an interest rate better than 2%. So we're going to continue to evaluate that, but given our last timing of our bond sale, we have a little bit of time, but we did want to get through the market and issue those bonds to take care of some back payment of our projects.
And for the record, this is a $25,000 debt service payment to that loan. So
that's correct.
Which is 2%, which is, I think, very advantageous, actually.
And just so you know, it's been incorporated in the fiscal year 18. There is no, everything's been incorporated in our debt service number, so you will not see an ordinance like this next fiscal year.
Thank you. Any questions, comments for members of council concerning Ordinance 17-047? Moving along, Ordinance 17-048, Councilman Holland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the pass-through grant for fiscal 2018 for Newcastle County Libraries. I noticed, and I guess other council members may not have noticed, that the Route 9 Library is not included here. I was just told that we have not received any additional funding for Newcastle County at this point, but the materials for all libraries will be shared across the board. So we need to make certain that we making certain that we're going to be opening a date that we advertise and we're going to be fully operational.
And Councilman Street.
Every time, obviously nobody in the county, so but every time I think the fight's over, here it is, something else. It's my understanding from Representative Johnson, he had to get into it in the Joint Finance Committee meeting in regard to finishing the cap. And now mysteriously, and I didn't say anything the last time, but the last funding that we received from libraries did not include Route 9. So I don't know what the problem is, but every time I think that this battle's over, we're going to go forward and we're going to celebrate, it ends up in another situation. And, you know, state can keep playing if they want. At the end of the day, everything that I fight about before is linked directly one another. All these districts got to keep fighting for referendums every year, every other year, And that's because the state, via the Charter School Act, has continued to allow charter schools to operate. We totally resegregated. And the reason I fought so vigorously, and thank every council member here, former administration and this administration, for having the courage to supplement the area of the county. If you look at the test scores from Eisenberg, which feeds into McCullough, in that area, the performance scores are equally bad to the so-called priority schools, and the need is there, and that library needs to be supplied like the rest of them. But, you know, I'm not fighting with y'all, but the state can keep playing if they want. But they're going to end up, as I told the previous governor, you as a state are going to spend some money on these children, and you're either going to spend it on education or you're going to spend it on lawyers. Don't make me no different. That's where we are. And so when we have to go in the direction that I feared we have to go into, don't start blaming me. I forewarned you, and I've been talking about it for 5-6 years, been back and forth for, at this point, 17. And when all hell breaks loose, don't blame me. I begged, I pleaded, and I'm through begging, I'm through pleading, and we're gonna do what we have to do. And again, win, lose, or draw, I'm gonna put it forward and go outstanding on my principles.
Okay.
And if I say I'm pissed, I am.
All right. Any other? Councilman Smiley.
Hey, and Councilman, I'm not looking to go to war this early today, but I want to ask, I don't know if anybody here can answer it. I'm not sure who's responsible for the language at the end of this. But I'm curious of whether it's part of the state code, law, finance, and whatever. Councilor Street, I'm trying to grasp, I guess, as to why Route 9 isn't here. And I'm reading where it says, libraries must meet or provide evidence of attempting to meet the minimum standards of operation as established by the Division of Libraries and approved by the State Council on Libraries. So is it required? Does a library have to be up, operational, and have a track record in order to be eligible for this funding? That's what that says to me, but I'm not sure.
The finance officer from the community services.
Eileen Latham, the Department of Finance Officer of the Community Services. Technically, no, the library doesn't have to be. What I was told is that with the Route 9 library, the service area overlapped with, I believe, Wilmington, which is part of the reason why we didn't get additional funding. Also, the way the library is, the way the state library is allocating their funds now is not necessarily allocated to individual libraries, it's allocated to the system. So we're working towards sharing that money across all of the libraries. But we did not get additional funding for this year.
So it would be similar to the way the volunteer fire department works. They get a big pool of money and they're going to divide it up between So I would just anticipate the next time there will be a little more involvement or heads up before we get this to see that all the libraries are being considered and involved in it. And I appreciate you clarifying because that language is far from what I thought it would mean.
And if you, Eileen Latham, Department of Finance Officer, yes. And if you look at funding in administration, you'll see a large pot for part-time and a large pot for materials and supplies, and that's to be shared across the system. The individual pieces that you see are just for office supplies that each individual library uses, and we knew going in that this might be the case with the Route 9 library, so we planned for it more in the operating budget.
So we got the money there to get her up and running. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions, comments from members of council on Ordinance 17-048, which is the annual appropriation to libraries from state government? We appreciate their appropriating this fund. Councilman Street.
Briefly, there wasn't an overlap when we did the initial needs assessment. So, if anything, it's hyper-technical. And I would hope that going forward, that the part of the administration that's not in the room would be aggressive and assertive in making sure it's fair, so that I don't have to continue to go other places and engage in conduct unbecoming a council person.
Councilman Smiley.
And I just want to follow up on that. I remember sitting in this room, verbally here, as well as by email, clearly asking before we ever broke ground for a study on the impact of the city of Newcastle and the Wilmington Library before we placed that. And the response to both was, no impact. So all of a sudden the state says, there's an impact. There was no projected impact on either one of the libraries back then. So what I'm going to say is there can be two or more unbecoming. Thank you.
I think everybody, Councilman Street, around this table shares your concern about the state fully equipping and going with this round of funding for the new Route 9 library. I think we'll all do what we can to make sure that that occurs. So thank you for bringing that. Councilman Street.
No, thank you very much. And I know that, and I certainly appreciate that.
Thank you. All right, moving forward, under other, we had to report on Delaware Trade. We're moving on to council grant requests or community events. So we got a lengthy end of fiscal year. People are pumping the grant money out. Okay. Beginning with the Epilepsy Foundation of Delaware, Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, they have their annual 5K. It was held June 3rd. They raised, the one runner that I go to see that's in my neighborhood, she collected over $5,000 herself, and it was her 20th year of running this race. So there was a lot of participation. I was there. So the request is to make a motion for $500 for Epilepsy Foundation.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor of the $500 to the Epilepsy Foundation of Delaware, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant is approved. Moving along, Loving Touch Animal Clinic. Okay, Councilman Tackett.
It's me.
Okay, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. On behalf of Councilman Tackett.
All right.
This is the second year that the grant request has come in, and I move that $2,500 be given from Councilman Tackett's account to Loving Touch Animal Clinic.
And this
second.
This is for low-cost rabies vaccine.
Euthanasia. Oh, no.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant is approved to the Loving Touch Animal Clinic for $2,500. Friends of the Newark Free Library, Councilmember Diller.
Yes, I'm making a motion that $678 go to the Friends of the Newark Free Library for equipment purchase that will assist in some of the extras that they're trying to do at the library in terms of video production.
All right, great cause. And do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Yes, we've approved the grant for the Friends of Newark Free Library. Chinese American Community Center, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Yes, this is an ongoing grant that I and others have given to over the last couple of years, and I move that $500 from my account and $500 from Councilman Weiner's account go to give the Chinese American Community Center $1,000 towards their 2017 festival.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed?
Not voting.
The grant to the Chinese American Community Center for their 2017 festival is approved. I bet you that's a good time. Middletown Area Chamber of Commerce Foundation. Powers, yes, Ruby, go.
Ruby, don't worry, that is Councilman Harris. This is through educational purposes to help with scholarships and small businesses. And Councilman Harris,
do you want me to make a motion?
$2,500 gap.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for a grant to the Middletown Area Chamber of Commerce. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant is approved for the scholarship and educational programs for Middletown Area Chamber of Commerce. Councilman Powers. Warriors Helping Warriors Incorporated. Councilman Powers once again.
Ruby Dunwood, Legislative Aid, Councilman Harris. This is to help renovate a home on Broad Street in Middletown to help veterans educate themselves with different educational programs to seek full-time or part-time employment.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor? Councilman Smiley?
Because I didn't hear and just want to clarify on the record the amount.
$1,000 from Councilman Powers' account to Warriors Helping Warriors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right, that grant is approved to the Helping Warriors Incorporated for $1,000. MOT Rotary Club, Councilman Powers.
Kirby Delmore, Legislative Aid, Councilman Powers. This is to help with a can-do playground in the community to help children and adults with special needs.
So moved. $1,000 from Councilman Powers' account to MOT Rotary Club.
Yep.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant is approved to the MOT Rotary Club for their can-do playground. Newcastle Public Library, Councilman Bell. Yes.
Sarah Farlow, Legislative Aid, Councilman Bell. On behalf of Councilman Bell, who is out of town, would like to provide the Newcastle Library an extra $1,500 for their summer reading program.
So moved. $1,500 from Councilman Bell's account to Newcastle Public Library.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
All right, the grant is approved for Councilman Bell to the Newcastle Public Library summer reading program. Duffy's Hope, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Over the years, I've supported Duffy's Hope. It's one of the premier youth organizations within Newcastle County. They provide mentoring, prevention, intervention, social enrichment, and academics to kids from underserved populations. I'm making a motion for $1,846 to Dr. Sullivan.
Second.
We have a motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Councilman Street, yes.
Can I add $400?
You certainly may.
Absolutely.
You want to revise your motion?
Yeah. Make the motion to include Councilman Street's $400. Thank you, sir. It would be $2,246.
You can work at the track. Good job.
And I'll resecond it.
All right. We have motion to second.
We're
double soap to the grant share between Councilman Hollins and Councilman Street. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
No Limit Athletics. Councilman Hollins.
Similar mission, smaller organization. I've actually met with this group as well as with Douglas Hope, and impressed with both groups with the amount of parental involvement with the youth involved in these programs. This is for the every year there's a requirement. This is an actual football league for young people. There's a requirement to have the helmets reconditioned by the National Operating Committee every 2 years. So this helps them to meet that challenge of getting their helmets reconditioned. I think it's $1,200. I make a motion to grant No Limits $1,200.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
The grant of $1,200 is made to the No Limit Athletics, Inc. Meeting House Hill Civic Association, Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. This is a long-standing issue starting in 2007 with Councilman Sheldon when you have a community, Meeting House Hill, that does not have a maintenance association, but they have common open ground, and they had a pool. Back in 2007, their pool imploded, and I know that this council gave $2,500 to assist with the removal of that pool and everything that went with it. Surrounding that property, there is sidewalk that has trees that have overgrown and lifted the sidewalk, and under state code, it is the responsibility of the community to replace that sidewalk and keep it in good condition. This is not a community that is a wealthy community. They have been burdened with this piece of property for a long, long time because they are obviously maintaining the property without the ability to collect maintenance association dues. So as it stands right now, we are in the process of working with them to try to get this piece of property to go back to a natural state rather than being a park. Mm-hmm. And I am offering moving that $2,500 from my account goes to Meeting House Hill Civic Association to assist them in replacing that sidewalk.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
The grant's approved to the Meeting House Civic Association.
I so missed that, please.
That concludes the grant portion of the agenda. Yes. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, if I can have everyone's attention for a moment. Just, we need to clean up a couple of things, so I know whether we need to amend any legislation or anything going forward. Two items this council approved already was $50,000 to the revamp program and $25,000 to summer youth coming out of contingency. And there was some discussion, comment, whatever. So my question is, okay, when we're done, is there anyone moving any grant money to either of these programs?
Councilman Weiner, Councilman
Mack. I thought we'd had discussion about shifting whatever's left in our kitties. I certainly would like to do that. I don't think it's a lot, but I would like to donate whatever I can to the kids.
Two, okay.
Okay. Council Member Kilpatrick, yeah. Council Sheldon.
I will remove.
Just tell me which one you're going to.
The kids. But I know there's not much money there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same as I, whatever's left.
Same for me. Whatever Jim says is left.
And myself.
We just spent all your money.
I'm going to send mine over to the revamp.
Woods? To the children?
To the children.
Same here.
I think I have more to go to. I know you exist. How much do you have?
I think I have 25 cents.
Yeah. Okay, to the revamp, the balance of their grant money, Councilman Tackett, and to the Summer Youth Employment Program, Councilpersons Diller, Hollins, Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Weiner, and Woods.
In the street.
Did you get an answer as to whether we could also encumber some of the future grant money for this one or not? No, never mind. Okay, so I'll get with Jim after this plays out. That way, we've done, as I said before, we've done the legislation, Councilman Taggett's legislation, and Councilman Street's legislation on this one. We've done that legislation so that it will be intro tonight. We don't have to reintroduce. We will just be able to do a substitute and or amend from the floor to increase the amount. So thank you very much.
All right, I guess that could fall under expense and revenue roundtable. Is there anything else under expense and revenue roundtable? Moving on to other, is there anything under other? Public comment? Any public comment? Motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, the committee meeting for June 13th, Administrative Finance, is adjourned. Thank you.